You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Leviticus chapter 6 and verses 10 and 11. As we continue in our series, Don't Let the Fire Go Out, Leviticus chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, and I'll read verses 8 to 13, talking about the whole burnt offering on the bronze altar at the tabernacle. The Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons this command. These are the regulations for the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar hearth throughout the night till morning, and the fire must be kept burning on the altar." Verse 10, "The priest shall then put on his linen clothes with linen undergarments next to his body and shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the fire has consumed on the altar and place them beside the altar. Then he is to take off those clothes and put on others and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I pray you would show us, every one of us today, what those ashes are in our lives that are putting out that fire, and keep us from serving you and living for you and trusting you. I pray, Lord, you would just show us you are more than capable, not only taking those ashes away, but using them for incredible things in our lives. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Every time you cook on a charcoal grill, there's always something left over after you're done. And it's not just the grody stuff from the meat that's left on the top grate that you cooked. It's also that gray stuff from the charcoal that you cooked with on the bottom grate. And also all along the bottom of the grill. And that's the ashes. And if you don't take those ashes out, after every time you cook, they build up. And they restrict your airflow. And your coals don't burn as long. And they drop down through the air vents and get your patio dirty. And worst of all, those ashes can get so deep, they can put your fire out and you won't be able to cook anything at all anymore. People, we've got to take the ashes out. And not only out of our grill, but even more importantly, out of our hearts and out of our lives. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how we can get that done. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Don't Let the Fire Go Out. Looking at the fire that burned on the bronze altar at the tabernacle in the Old Testament and seeing how that fire, the power and the presence of God, is still supposed to be burning in us Christians today. So far in this series, we've seen that to keep the fire from going out, we need to tend to the fire and deal with sin. And today we see that to keep the fire from going out, we need to take the ashes out. And to see that's done, we turn this morning, Leviticus chapter 6 and verses 10 and 11. Leviticus chapter 6 verses 8 to 13 talks about the whole burnt offering that those priests at the tabernacle were supposed to make every morning and every night. And our text today tells us some very specific things that those priests were supposed to do with the ashes so that the fire didn't go out. Exactly the same things we Christians need to do with all of our ashes today so that the fire doesn't go out inside of us either. Our text this morning, Leviticus chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, tells us three things that we need to do to take the ashes out and keep the fire burning. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to take the ashes out, we need to understand what the ashes are. And for those priests back at the tabernacle, it was a no-brainer. 3 million people in the camp of Israel, every single one of them a sinner, buku sin sacrifices offered on that altar every single day, besides the whole burnt offering every morning and every night. Duh, the ashes was that gray stuff that built up underneath the bronze altar every day. It was easy for those priests to understand what the ashes were, but not so easy for us today. Now, every single one of us Christians today is a priest too. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And every single day, we're supposed to take the ashes out of our altar. But are we doing that? Do we understand what those ashes are? And folks, every single one of us has it. Because ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Those ashes are absolutely anything in our lives that keeps us distracted away from God and that keeps us from serving Him and following all the purposes that He has for us. You say, well, Kevin, you're talking about sins in our lives that we need to get rid of. You said that last week. No, I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about good things that become sinful things because we use them in a sinful way. Not necessarily bad things, but they become bad things when we let them put our fire out. What are those ashes in your life right now? The average Christian in America now checks his phone 110 times a day. 40% of all Christians check their phone while they're going to the bathroom. 1 out of 5 Christians checks their phone during sex. Talk about a distraction. I know a Christian whose house caught on fire, and even before he called 911, he took a picture of the fire with his phone and posted it on Facebook first. Talk about addicted to your phone. Last November the 2nd, Seattle, Washington, Scott Walsh's girlfriend accidentally dropped her cell phone down the trash chute in her apartment. And when Scott Walsh tried to grab it, he accidentally fell down the trash chute in that apartment, all the way down to the building trash compactor in the basement. And his fall turned the thing on, broke both of his legs, fractured his skull, ruptured blood vessels in his neck. He came this close to dying. People, let the phone go and take the ashes out. Millions of Christians in America today playing that video game, Fortnite, where you fight a battle royale and kill off all your competitors in order to win a prize. But my question is, what's the big deal? Because people fight a battle royale and kill off all their competitors every Black Friday when there's a sale at Best Buy on big screen TVs. George Barna tells us the average Christian in America now spends more time playing video games in one day than he does going to church or reading the Word all week long. And that's not kids, that's the adults. God help us. 6,279 people dying and going to hell every single day in this country. We've got Christians getting carpal tunnel from playing God's war. Sports are a good thing, but we've turned them into idols. 56-year-old George Timmerman from Chicago is a huge Chicago Bears fan. So bad, he's got over 100 Chicago Bears players' autographs tattooed all over his body. He's even got Mike Ditka tattooed on the back of his neck. Chicago Bears players' names written all over his body. Is Jesus Christ, is that name written on his heart? Christians, we've got to take the ashes out. In ancient Persia, ashes were used as a form of execution. They kept a 75-foot-tall tower filled with ashes. And they would drop the criminals down in from the top, and then slaves on the outside turned wheels on the inside that kept those ashes blowing into the criminals' eyes and nose and mouth until they slowly suffocated. Horrible way to snuff somebody out. But folks, don't tell me that the devil doesn't still use ashes today to snuff out Christians. And even if not to physically kill them, then to snuff out their fire inside. It happened to her. Beyonce Knowles was born in Houston, Texas, raised in a strong Christian home, even sang solos in the choir at St. John's United Methodist Church there. 1997, she joined a R&B Christian girl group called Destiny's Child. A name that was taken from that verse in Isaiah that talks about the destiny of baby Jesus. Folks, believe it or not, Beyonce started out as a gospel singer. And she and her other members of Destiny's Child, Michelle Williams and Kelly Rowland, all claimed that they were born-again Christians. But then the ashes started to pile up. The skimpy clothes, the whole bootylicious thing. Beyonce played a tramp in that Austin Powers movie, The Sky Spy Who Shagged Me. 2002, when Destiny's Child broke up, she went total secular music, hypersexualized lyrics. She married rapper Jay-Z. Today, Beyonce sold over 100 million records. She's won 22 Grammys. She's worth $500 million. And she supports every ungodly cause, from radical feminism to gay marriage and everything in between. Beyonce may be Queen Bey, but where is King Jesus in her life right now? What does it profit a diva to gain the whole world and yet forfeit the fire inside because she let the ashes of the world put that fire out? And Christians, how many of us have done exactly the same thing? Folks, what in the world is this fascination that people have today with ashes? Everybody and his brother today is going gaga over what they call caveman steaks or dirty steaks. Because that's what President Eisenhower called them when he cooked them way back then. You get some ribeye steaks or sirloins or T-bone steaks, 1.5 to 2 inches thick, because anything thinner would never be able to stand the heat. You get the charcoal glowing on your grill, but instead of putting those steaks on the grill grate, you lay them directly on the coals. And because the coals burn at about 1,600 degrees, it only takes 2 or 3 minutes to get them medium rare. People say cooking steaks like that looks cool, and it impresses everybody who sees it. But my question is, what about the ashes? Oh, they say, you use lump hardwood charcoal instead of briquettes because it doesn't produce as much ash. As when you take the steaks off the fire, you can get rid of some of those ashes with a pastry brush. Yeah, but my question is, what about the rest of the ashes? Oh, it just adds to the flavor. Caveman steak's the best steak you ever had in your life. No. First of all, I'm not a caveman, even though I look like one. And even if a caveman did cook that way, why does that mean that I have to? Americans every year spend $7 billion on the most advanced grilling technology in the world. I think we ought to use it. And I don't want to eat anything dirty. And I'm not going to spend a small fortune on a 2-inch steak and risk turning it into a burnt offering or eat it when it's covered with ashes. And why should I have to brush the ashes off of it when there don't need to be any ashes there to begin with? And I don't cook to impress anybody. I cook because I want to eat. And if God used a grill grate on the bronze altar at the tabernacle to cook a piece of meat, I can use a grill grate on my grill to cook a piece of meat too. Folks, I don't care what those ashes are in your life. I don't care how popular or cool or impressive the world thinks they are. You want to keep your fire burning, you've got to take the ashes out. Amen. The first thing we need to do in order to take the ashes out, we need to understand what those ashes are. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to take the ashes out. We not only need to understand what the ashes are, we also have to keep our clothes clean while we're handling those ashes. Now, the priests back at the tabernacle didn't wear hoodies or yoga pants. Verse 10 says that they had to wear special made linen garments, not only outside, special made linen underwear as well, next to their body. All the while they were on duty at the tabernacle, even when they were taking the ashes out. They would shovel those ashes and put them up, pile them up right next to the altar. But notice verse 11, when they took those ashes outside the camp, beyond the range of the tents, the camp of Israel, they had to change their clothes and put on different clothes. As long as they were in that special place, they had to wear those special clothes. But when they went out to a regular place, they put on regular clothes. And those Old Testament priests kept their special clothes clean as long as they understood the difference between the two places. Christians, are we keeping our clothes clean? The Bible says when we get saved, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 13, verse 14. So you have Jesus on the inside. It shows up on the outside with a white robe of righteousness and a crown of gold in our heads. Clothes so incredible, they make those Old Testament priests look like rodeo clowns. Now, when those priests back at the tabernacle left the camp and went out in the world to go to Starbucks, they had to change their clothes. But Christians, we never have to change our clothes at all, ever, because that white robe and that crown goes with anything, and it's good for any occasion. So whether you're singing at church or doing algebra at school, or sorting pigs or shoveling snow or changing diapers, that robe and that crown always, always, always stay on. Amen. She's got hers on right now. Denise, could you stand up? Everybody take a look at this robe and crown. And people, she is working it and she is rocking it. Just look at that. Now, underneath, she may have Donna Karen, or she may have Vera Wang or Salvation Army, but over the top, she's got that white robe of righteousness on her back, and she's got that crown of gold on her head. Amen. And see what that crown says? It's written right here. It says, Kadosh HaAdonai, holy unto the Lord. And holy doesn't mean she's perfect. It means she's special and set apart for special things. And Christians, exactly the same thing is true for every single one of you, because every single one of you is wearing exactly the same thing she is. Special and set apart for special things. Okay, sit down. But beware, even though we never have to change those clothes, we can get those clothes dirty. Now notice, those priests at the tabernacle didn't get their clothes dirty by handling those ashes. They got them dirty by blurring the lines between inside the camp and outside the camp, between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean, between special and common. And we do exactly the same thing. Jesus said, Mark chapter 7, verse 15, it's not anything outside of us that gets us dirty or unclean. It's what comes from inside of us that gets us dirty and unclean. Our attitude and our heart. And this idea somehow that we don't have to be holy for the Lord. It's very simple. If you're holy, you don't do unholy things like the world does. If you're special, you don't do common things like the world does. But how many Christians still do? Christians today are blurring the lines when it comes to homosexuality. I cannot tell you how many calls and letters and emails I've gotten over the years. Pastor Garner, homosexuality, it's just who those people are. No, there is absolutely nothing in the Bible that says homosexuality is anything other than behavior. So it's not just who those people are. It's just what those people do. Well, Kevin, we have to have a conversation about it. No, you don't have a conversation about sin. You just identify it and you confess it. Amen. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10, you must learn to distinguish the holy from the unholy. But how many Christians are? How many churches are? You've heard of congregations that have church in a bar? Here's a congregation that put a bar in their church. Catholic Church, Palmdale, California. Every single Sunday after Mass, all you can drink, as long as you go to the worship service first. Gives a whole new meaning to that verse, be filled with the Spirit. They're not separating the holy from the unholy. But evangelicals, are we doing any better in our churches? We come dragging into church every single Sunday, 20 minutes late, in our Crocs, in our cargo shorts, grab a soy milk pumpkin spice latte at the church coffee bar, sit down in the church pew and start scrolling with our phones like we missed the end of the world in the 20 seconds that it took to walk in the front door. I was preaching in a church in Minnesota one time. There's a whole family eating Egg McMuffins out of a paper sack during the service. Preached in a church in Wisconsin one time, there was a woman sitting there during the service painting her nails. It's the house of God, people. We've lost the sense of what's holy. Keep your clothes clean and don't get your clothes dirty. I know Christian women who caught their husbands watching porn, and they were so insistent on seeing what their husbands were looking at, they got addicted to porn themselves. You do bad things in your good clothes, you get your clothes dirty. Other people can get your clothes dirty. Last June the 18th, Washington County, Virginia, a 15-year-old Christian guy named Zach Smith was in a car with three of his friends. 16-year-old Hannah Davis was the driver. And as they were cruising along, they started daring Zach Smith to do some hood surfing, where you get on top of the car, act like you're surfing while the car is moving. So they stopped the car. Zach Smith got out, got up on the hood. She gunned it. He fell off, unable to stop. She ran over him and killed him at 35 miles an hour. Young people, be very, very careful who your friends are, because everything they do always, always, always affects you too. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good character and can get your clothes dirty and can put your fire out. Christians dating non-Christians who do not share absolutely the most important thing in your entire life, and that's your relationship with Jesus Christ. Good rule of thumb, bae ain't bae if bae don't pray. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked and get your clothes dirty. And Christians, we never, ever, ever compartmentalize our faith and take off that right robe anywhere we go, even for work. The picture you see on the screen is a 42-year-old Christian named Jeff Hall from Tolono, Illinois. And for 14 years, he's been an employee of the Social Security Administration down in Champaign. Well, last April, his supervisor demanded that he watch a 17-minute video that was supposed to train all the employees how to affirm LGBT people. And Jeff Hall refused to watch that video. He said, I'm not affirming either homosexuality or transgenderism because God clearly says in the Bible that it's wrong. Refused. So 2 months later, last June, supervisor demanded that he watch that video again. And again, Jeff Hall refused. So last August, they suspended him for 20 days without pay. So Jeff Hall hired an attorney and sued the Social Security Administration for violating his First Amendment rights and religious freedom. And what do you know? The Social Security Administration backed off and refused to take any further disciplinary action with Jeff Hall. So today, he's still working that job, he's still getting paid for it, and that man has never once watched that video. This is what he said. Because I'm a Christian, even at work, I don't stop being a believer or reflecting Jesus Christ. I never have and never would treat anybody with disrespect, regardless of what their orientation is. And I'm not going to give up my faith or compromise my beliefs just to go along or get along. People, you don't take your white robe off for anything. And you don't let anybody else get it dirty either. Even if the ashes of what they did to you are rocking your world and breaking your heart. Jameson and Catherine Powles, along with their three little kids, ages 3, 2, and 2 months, were members of John Piper's church up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, until they sold everything they had to become missionaries in Japan. Raised in strong Christian homes, salt of the earth. In the summer of 2017, they were taking some missionary training in Littleton, Colorado. And that July the 17th, they were headed back toward Minneapolis in their Dodge minivan on Interstate 80 when they had to stop at a construction zone in a long line of cars. But about that time, here come a semi driven by 55-year-old Tony Weekly from Denver, Colorado, a man with a long history of vehicular crashes. And because he was talking on his phone and reaching for his jumbo soda, he didn't even notice the stop traffic and plowed right in the back of the Powell's minivan at 65 miles per hour. Rolled the truck, that minivan burst into flames, killed every single member of that family. Witnesses say Tony Weekly did not even slow down at all and even killed the driver of the car in front of that minivan. So Tony Weekly was arrested, 6 felony counts of vehicular homicide. And because he knew he was guilty, at his pretrial hearing, he pleaded no contest and said this to the court. The crash I caused has haunted me every single day since it happened. Some days I can't even get behind the wheel knowing that I ruined 6 other lives as well as the lives of their loved ones, not to mention my own. But in spite of that, the prosecutor, the police, and especially the first responders who had to pull those charred bodies out of that minivan pleaded with the judge to give him the maximum punishment, 10 years in prison. And folks, nobody would have flinched. That guy did a really stupid thing that killed an incredible Christian couple and their 3 beautiful kids. And he had deserved exactly what was coming to him. But then something happened that blew absolutely everybody away. Jameson Powell's parents, Rick and Kathy Powell's, are also born-again Christians. And all last summer, they went to every trial, every hearing, every court proceeding that Tony Weekly was involved in. And last June, after Tony Weekly was finally found guilty and it came time to read the victim impact statements right before sentencing, Rick Powles got up in that court and said this to the judge. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, "Be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. I am not in a position to extend mercy to Tony Weekly, but Judge, you are. So I request mercy for him. Not the maximum amount of punishment, but the maximum amount of mercy." Folks, Rick and Kathy Powell's world came to an end that day on Interstate 80. Jameson was the only child they had. And those three kids were the only grandkids they were ever going to have. And yet the Powells were asking the judge to give mercy to Tony Weekly, the very guy that ruined their family. And because of the Powells' request, instead of the judge giving Tony Weekly 10 years in prison, he gave him only 180 days in jail and 2 years probation for every victim. And when the trial and the sentencing was all over with, the Powells even gave Tony Weekly and his wife a hug on the way out. And then Rick Powell said this to reporters, "Both my family and Catherine's family have forgiven Tony Weekly. And if it wasn't for our hope in Christ, we couldn't stand to live because we lost the most precious things in the world because of the crash that he caused. But our grief is temporary. The hope is eternal. As a Christian, I know how much God has forgiven me. So how can I not forgive Tony Weekly?" Wow. Folks, there's all kinds of ashes left over from the sins that we've committed. There's also all kinds of ashes left over from the sins other people commit against us. And how do we take those ashes out without getting our clothes dirty? Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, we forgive those people just as God in Christ has forgiven us. And folks, no matter how much they may have hurt us, no matter how bad it may be, we can forgive them because if we are clothed with Jesus Christ, then we have the power of Jesus Christ to forgive anything and keep the fire burning inside. Amen. The second thing we need to do to take the ashes out, we need to keep our clothes clean. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to take the ashes out. We not only need to understand what the ashes are, we not only need to keep our clothes clean while we're handling them, but third, we need to put those ashes to use. Because that's exactly what those Israelites did. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, "But Kevin, they're ashes. So what?" Even though those ashes are physically dirty, there's absolutely nothing in the Bible that says those ashes were unclean. Because they were the remains of clean animals that were sacrificed for good reasons. Now, some of these ashes were treated in a special way. Some of the ashes from the sacrifices were handled in a special way. I know there's people thinking, "Well, Kevin, what special use can there be for ashes?" Folks, there's all kinds of good uses for ashes today. Ashes are used to neutralize skunk smell on pets. They block garden pests. They melt ice. They add calcium and phosphate to compost. They kill pond algae. They fertilize all kinds of plants, on and on. Now, notice when these ashes were taken outside the camp, they weren't just thrown into a dumpster or a gut wagon. Verse 11, they were put in a place that was designated ceremonially clean by God Himself. And those ashes were kept in that clean place so they would stay clean so they could be used for good things. And those ashes from those animal sacrifices were used for a lot of good things. Now, most of the sacrifices in Leviticus were made at the bronze altar at the tabernacle. But some of the sin offerings, the animals, were sacrificed and burned outside the camp, and then the blood was brought back into the tabernacle to be presented to the Lord. Numbers chapter 19, a red heifer would be sacrificed and burned outside the camp. And then those ashes would be used to purify people who were considered unclean. Leviticus chapter 4, a bull would be sacrificed outside the camp, sacrificed and burned for the sins of all the people of Israel. And then its ashes would be used to purify all the people who were unclean. 2,000 years ago, a lamb was sacrificed outside the camp for the sins of all people who have ever lived or died. Jesus Christ on the cross, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. And His blood, His ashes, His blood were used to purify anybody who turns to Him in repentance and faith. See the pattern? God uses ashes to purify His people. So even though those ashes may look like they're unclean or dirty or messy or bad, God still uses them for something good. So let me ask you this morning, what are those ashes in your life? The griefs, the heartaches, all the trials and the troubles. They may seem messy, they may seem unclean, they may seem dirty. What are those ashes in your life? Your husband just asked you for a divorce. Your mom is diagnosed with Alzheimer's at 57 years old. Your best friend in the eighth grade commits suicide. Just had a miscarriage, your fourth one in 2.5 years. Your daughter's hooked on crack and she's abusing your grandkids. What are those ashes in your life? There's single people listening to this sermon right now. You have wanted to be married for so long. Beyonce's been crazy in love, dangerously in love, even drunk in love. You can't even find a guy you even like. But Isaiah chapter 30 verse 18 says you're not only waiting on God, God is also waiting. He can't wait to bless you with a spouse. But God is also waiting, and He's using this time of singleness in your life right now to purify you from something bad and to prepare you for something good. So listen, don't you dare settle for anything less than God's choice for you. Because believe it or not, there is something harder than waiting on God, and that's wishing that you had. What are those ashes in your life? Back in 1990, a little boy named Kirk was born in Barrington, Illinois. Dad was a pastor, crazy about sports, and of course, he wanted Kirk to play ball when he grew up too. But when Kirk was 19 months old, he was playing by the stove and pulled down a whole pot of boiling spaghetti on himself. Third-degree burns all over his neck, all over his shoulder, his arms, his chest, his back. Screamed for 3 solid weeks in the hospital, and doctors said he would never be able to throw a ball normal for the rest of his life. But Kirk's parents prayed over him and prayed for him. What do you know? God healed it. And Kirk got really good at football. But then, right before his first game, junior year, Holland Christian High School in Barrington, Illinois, he broke his ankle. So he couldn't impress any of the college scouts or recruiters. But again, parents prayed for him. He prayed. God healed him again so he could play the last 4 games of his junior year and his entire senior year without re-injuring it. Got a scholarship to Michigan State University, started at quarterback 3 straight years. 2012, Kirk was drafted into the NFL by the Washington Redskins. But that same year, the Washington Redskins also picked Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Robert Griffin III. So what was Kirk doing on the Washington Redskins? But what do you know? 1 year later, RG3 went down with injuries. Kirk stepped in, threw for over 8,000 yards over the next 2 seasons. But the Washington Redskins would not give him a long-term contract. So finally, last March the 15th, Kirk signed a 3-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings, making him the highest paid player in the history of the NFL. Folks, that guy named Kirk, one setback after another, is Kirk Cousins, starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. And this is what he said. If I hadn't been for every one of those setbacks in my life, I would have never learned to really trust God like I do now. And I would never be anywhere near as close to Him as I am right now. We have to trust God and His plans no matter what happens to us, because He can take all those trials and use them for so many good things in our lives. Christians, God can take all your troubles, all your trials, and all those ashes and use them for all kinds of good things in your life too, if you just trust Him to do it. Are we trusting Him? No matter how deep those ashes pile up. Over the last 3 weeks, the Camp Fire in California has scorched 150,000 acres, burned down 9,600 homes and almost 3,000 businesses, killed upwards of 100 people, many of them incinerated in their vehicles trying to flee. the worst wildfire in California history. And folks, pictures of that look like snapshots taken directly out of hell itself. You talk about ashes. Well, last Friday, November the 9th, a tidal wave of flames absolutely destroyed the town of Paradise, population 27,000. And Debbie Borden and her husband and little one-year-old son live on Chloe Street there. And about a half hour before those flames started to eat up their neighborhood, they left everything they had behind, jumped in the car with the baby, and just barely escaped with flames on both sides of the road out of that town, and finally got to the town of Chico about 3 o'clock that afternoon. And all the while they were traveling, Debbie Borden just kept praying, "God, whatever happens to our house, it's yours. It'll probably be ashes, but do with it, use it however you want." Well, about 5 o'clock that afternoon, Debbie Borden got a call from a nurse named Chrissy Ferguson from the Feather River Hospital in Paradise. And she told her that that afternoon, after the Bordens evacuated, Feather River Hospital had to evacuate critically ill patients because of the fire that was coming. So Chrissy Ferguson and other nurses and EMTs packed them in 3 ambulances, but the first ambulance caught on fire right in front of the Bordens' house. So they made a decision to take all those critically ill patients, carried them into the Bordens' house, and used the Bordens' house as a MASH unit to keep those critically ill patients alive. Because, strangely enough, the Borden's house was the only house on the entire street that wasn't already on fire. Now, after the fire danger passed, Chrissy Ferguson and the nurses and the EMTs were able to take those critically ill patients back to the hospital, and every single one of them survived. And you know why? Because the Borden's house was the only house in the entire neighborhood that didn't burn to the ground. Hallelujah. Debbie Borden said this: "We could see that fire getting closer and closer, and we were so panicked about getting out and so scared about losing everything we had, we were this close to losing hope and losing faith. But then to hear what God did to save our house and how He used it to save people's lives, that just makes us want to trust Him all the more. Don't ever doubt that God can take all your trials and bring something good out of them. We are living proof that God can turn your ashes into blessings." Christians, are we going to trust that God can take all the ashes in our lives and use them to bless us and build us up and do good things in our lives too? Do we understand what we need to do to take the ashes out and keep the fire burning? Sue and I have lived up here, this part of LaSalle County, for going on 25 years. And this is the 5th grill that we've had since we moved up here. So that's a lot of grilling and a lot of ashes. When we first moved up here, I'd get done grilling, the charcoal and the ashes would all be cooled off. I'd just throw them behind the garage. It's organic material, it's biodegradable, we live in the country, who cares? Well, Sue did. She didn't think it looked very neat. So instead of throwing it behind the garage, I just started putting the ashes and the coals in that old trash can that somebody had left in the garage at the parsonage. Big mistake, because it just got really handy to throw all those ashes and all those coals in there instead of trying to do something good with it. And over the years, you can see what happened. I got a trash can full of ashes. Now, a couple years ago, I started digging in this, and I'd put a little bit in the trash can and the trash bags every other week and set it out by the curb so the garbage would take it away. I'd be able to get rid of them. But after a couple months, I stopped doing that too. Folks, if you don't take your ashes out, and if you don't take them out of the grill after every time you use it, that's the result. You got a big old trash can full of ashes in your garage. And what do you do with them? You can't give them away to your neighbors like kittens or zucchini. You can't sell it on a garage sale. Who wants a trash can full of ashes today? See what I mean? And it's heavy. And it gets in your way. And every time I walk in the garage, you got to walk around it. And every time I clean the garage, you got to sweep around it. And the biggest shame of all, I could have been using those ashes all throughout those years for all kinds of good things. I could have been using them to melt ice on the sidewalks in the wintertime, or to boost my tomatoes in the summertime, or to de-skunk Rocky every time he got sprayed. But instead, those ashes just sit there in that can. You say, "Well, Kevin, that's stupid." I know. Kevin, you should just get rid of it. I should. But those ashes just stay there in that can because I don't take the time and I don't make it a priority. And you don't either, do you? Let me ask you this morning, how big is that trash can full of ashes in your life? And those ashes are there because you let those ashes pile up in your life too, don't you? And they're heavy. And they get in your way. And instead of giving those to God and letting Him use them for something good in your life, you hang on to them. So those ashes just sit there in that can because you don't take the time and you don't make them a priority either. Do you? So Christians, let me ask you this morning. When is this ever going to be a priority in our lives? When are we ever going to stop adding to this pile and start taking away from it? The priests back at the tabernacle did it every single morning. How about we do it this morning? Because if not now, when? What are those ashes in your life right now? Is it the phone? Or Facebook? Some guy, some girl that you know is taking you away from the Lord? Bad memories? Is it grief? Is it a grudge that's stealing away all your joy? What are those ashes in your life right now that are putting your fire out? Now, God will take them away, but we have to shovel them out and pile them up so He can take them away. And where do we shovel them to? Well, those priests back at the tabernacle would take those ashes, scoop them and pile them up next to the altar where they could be redeemed and used for good things. Their altar was the bronze altar where the animals were sacrificed. Christians, our altar is the cross where Jesus was sacrificed so He could redeem all those ashes in our lives and use them for good things too. At the cross. That's where you need to shovel them. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And right now you see that big pile of ashes in your heart. Big pile. Putting your fire out. Right now, would you just take a shovel, scoop into that pile, turn around, and dump those ashes at the foot of the cross? One scoop after another, as many times as it takes, until that pile is gone. And your fire gets some oxygen and some much-needed room to flare up again. Lord, we come to You today. Our lives are filled with ashes. Lord, not necessarily bad things. We make them bad things by not surrendering them to You or using them like You intended. So many things in our lives that are distracting us and taking us away from the main job that we have as priests to declare Your praises to a world that's dying lost. Pray, Lord, that You would just show us those ashes in our lives that we need to throw out, that we need to get rid of, those hurts that we need to surrender to You so You can use them for good things in our lives. Lord, I pray that You would keep that fire burning in us. Don't let it go out. Don't let it be smothered. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.